we're continuing on. We're doing What Should I Do was the question last week. And today it's What Should I Do Part 2. We said, what should we do? And we got to show you a few slides after we read this scripture. But we invite you to the book of Hebrews, in the 10th chapter and verses 32 through 39. And it says, it just reads the King James Version, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, after you were lit up, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have what in heaven a better and an enduring substance. There's a better day ahead, y'all. There is a better day ahead. There's a better place ahead. That's what he's saying. But then he says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. You have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but any man draw back, my soul have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. Hallelujah. What do I Amen. Do now? It's still a question mark, y'all. It's still a question. It's still something we're considering. It's still something we're trying to figure out. It's still something that, depending on the day, hits us in a different way. One moment, I'm all good, I'm all strong. The next minute, I'm mad and angry and ready to let somebody have it. We talked about it in Sunday school. We stumble and we fall, but guess what? God is still in control. So our last week, we said, what do I do now? We said what? We got to watch, we got to fight, and we got to pray. That's what God has commanded us to do, to watch, to fight, and to pray. And on last week, we talked about what did it mean to watch? We said what? We got to watch for the attempts to distract us. Isaiah talked about the woes. There were six woes, and it actually goes through 33, and I said through 28 to 30. He says what? We got to watch. We got for signs of disobedience. We got to watch for when we are not obedient to God. Why? Because when we see that we're not obedient to God, we're outside his will, we need to do what? We need to repent, so that when we repent, we can be restored back to the will of God. We got to be mindful. We can't assume that we won't make any mistakes. Okay. We can't assume that we won't deny him. But the word proves that. He told Peter, Peter said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never deny you. No way, no how. Ain't going to happen. But yet in one night, Peter denied him three times. Somebody said, that's because he didn't have the spirit. But my Bible teaches me that after Peter had the spirit, and he still had to walk, Peter still denied who God was by not doing what God told him to do. When God told him to be with the Lord, he said, I ain't going to have nothing to do with them. That wasn't of God. That was of Peter. Paul had to say, you ain't right. And all of us fall into disobedience at times by following after our own flesh and not following after the spirit. So we have to watch for those signs.
My God.
The Lord said, well, you can tell a tree by what? The fruit it bears. We got to be careful not to be bearing bad fruit.
My God.
Then we got to watch what? For the promises of God. And when we watch for the promises of God, you know what he said in Galatians. I'm just going to read that one, because that particular scripture in Galatians in the first chapter, we talked about verse 3-5. He just said, look, he said what? Grace be to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might what? Deliver us from this present evil world. According to the will of God and of our Father. He said, I'm going to deliver you from all this evilness. I'm going to deliver you from this. So this is a promise of God. We see corona. We see crazy. We see arguing. We see backbiting. We see lying and disease and division. We see whoremongering and every other kind of evil. He said, well, I'm going to deliver you. So I don't have to worry. I don't
Thank
have
you,
to
Lord.
Doubt. I'm going to be delivered.
Thank you, Lord.
He'll be glory forever and ever. And that's a promise from God. So we just got to watch.
Yes.
But also, though, we watch. Not only do we watch, we see some signs. And guess what? I need to tell you, I'm just going to remind you before I move on, don't doubt what God is showing you. When God shows you,
my God,
you need to understand it comes from the Holy Spirit. He's showing you for a reason.
Yes.
Man.
And I got to tell you, the reason ain't just for you to say, well, I could see that. I'm somebody. That ain't the reason. When God shows us something, he's got us watching because there's some work for us to do. There's something
on,
for us to do. So we're going to talk about, we ended up with what? Fix me, Lord. No, I just want you to fix me, and that's all right. But today we're moving on. Today, part two, we got to say what? Well, we got to fight. We got to fight. That's what the word says here. We got to fight. We got to know that we're in a fight. So what do? We got to fight. How do we fight? First thing we do, we fight by remembering why and for whom we fight. Oh, I wish I had time just to go around and ask everybody, who do you fight for and why do you fight? I'll answer the question for some. We fight for Jesus. I'll answer the question for some others. Or I fight for myself so I got a better life. Or I'll answer the question for someone. Why do you fight? Well, I don't want to be the one who loses. That's just some of the things, but I want to go to the Word. The Word tells us why we fight. If you look here, just in our scripture in Hebrew here, he tells us in 32 and 33, he says, look, so I want to call to your remembrance the former days. The former days, the former days. He said, the former days in which after ye were what? Illuminated, after you what? Had been saved, after you were lit up, said, you endured a great fight of affliction. Uh-oh, that's the word, y'all. Wait a minute. I thought when I accepted Christ, I thought when I got saved that the fight was over, I would have no more problem. No, baby, the fight just began. Because you stood up for Christ and you stood up for the light, the darkness said, I got to try and trip you up. He said, remember, he said, I don't want you to feel that you can't do it, but I want you to remember that when in those days you accepted me, when in those days you came about, he said, what? You were illuminated. You were doing a great fight of affliction. So all kind of things start there. He said, why? He said, partly what you were made of, what, a gazing stock? You were made a laughing stock by the reproaches and affliction? People put you on blast?
They
said, look at that. That's one of those who follow Christ. That's one of those who run after this so-called king, the king of the Jews. But guess what? The king ain't winning this fight. We gonna get you. After this, said he made you a gazing stock. By what? Reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companion of them that were so you knew what was going on. You knew the right thing. We know today that to be with Christ is the right thing, to do the will of God is the right thing, but the world is making you a laughing stock. The world don't want to hear. The world don't want to see. Just do what I tell you to do. It didn't stop right there. Go to John. What did John say? What did John say in verse 20 and 21? He said, remember the word that I said unto you? The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also what? Persecute you. If you what? Have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things that will do unto you, what? For my name's sake. Because they know not him that sent me. He said, the world don't care. The world's going to persecute you because they don't know my Father.
My Lord.
The world's going to persecute you because what? They don't know your Jesus. The world's going to persecute why? Because they haven't surrendered to your Jesus.
Say on, preacher.
And that's all right. That's all right, folks, because guess what? We fight our battles, and guess what? We know the end of the story. We don't lose.
We win. Hallelujah. We win.
So when you know that you win, you can fight this battle now. You can keep going. That's why I like when I heard the testimony that the father or uncle, whoever, he was, with a 10-year-old, he took out time. He said, look, I'm going to spend my time not worried about being shut down, but to do something with each child. And then guess what? God blessed him because he stayed in the fight. The 10-year-old said, I want to be saved. I want to know my Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't stop there, y'all. It doesn't stop there, y'all. He says what? In John 18, he says what? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Oh, he said, look, if my kingdom was about down here, all you ought to go to war for me. You know your Bible, right? What? When they cut off the servants here, Peter said, he cut off the servants here because they were after Jesus. Jesus said, that ain't the way to put the ear back on.
My God.
So I ain't got to fight with words. I ain't got to fight with my fist to get back at you and do it the way the world do it. My kingdom's not of this world. So I got to press towards the mark of the high calling. I got to keep doing the things that my Father sent me. He said, well, I must work the works of him who sent me while this day, the night comes with no man. Jesus said, I got to be about my Father's business. And that ain't what swore there.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
So who are we fighting for? We're fighting for Jesus.
My God.
This ain't your battle. This ain't your fight. You ain't even going to have to fight in this thing if you look at the word. But we got to keep fighting.
Thank you, Lord.
We got to speak the word. We got to pray in the spirit. We got to show love. We got to show compassion. We got to show that we got concern for one another. We got to show what? I'm going to keep on until it's over. David said it. David said what? The Lord is my shepherd. What? I shall not want. God maketh the way for me in the green path. God is the one who does it. Say, look, he said, my cup's going to run over. Say, God has already prepared a table for me in the presence of my, right in the middle of my enemies. God set me up a table. So all the enemy wants and all the haters around us, God had already set me up a table. And guess what, y'all? I ain't sitting in the back of the table. God sits us at the head of the table. Because the anointing flows and it runs over so that it covers the whole table. Thank you, Sister Lisa. There's a rainbow sign. It can be seen not just close to you. That rainbow can be seen all over the world. That's how good God is. The pandemic's all over the world. The rainbow can be seen all over the world. That's how awesome our God is. And he said, what? By remembering for whom we fight and whom do we fight? We fight for Jesus. 1 Corinthians says it this way. He said, what? I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. He said, Paul said, I don't run as being uncertain. I know why I run. Say, so fight I. Not as one that what beateth the air. So I ain't just waving my hands like I'm crazy. I'm not shadow boxing like they teach you to do. Shadow boxing's a good thing, but it don't win no fights. You got to get in the fight. Paul said, I don't do that, but I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be again. Say, I just follow what the word said. Paul said, what? I'm not uncertain. I know that the power of the word will win. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I keep it, because my body is not about me. It's about Jesus. My body's not about me. It's about Christ. My home is not here on earth. My home is going to be in heaven when Jesus comes back. And I can go on and on and on. But why do we fight and whom do we fight for? Now, I got to be honest with you. I got to be honest. God permits us to say, I fight for my children. I fight for my spouse. I fight for my family. I fight for my friends. I fight for my neighbor. Oh, we don't fight for our neighbor. I forgot about that. Yeah, but we fight for our neighbor. Guess who else we fight? We also fight for the unbelievers. We fight that they would grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They would come to know him in the forgiveness of their sins, that they can have the same glory, the same power, the same destination, the same love, the same forgiveness that God has given us. That's why we fight, and we fight for Christ. I fight for those who hate me. I fight for those who are against me. I fight that they might be one. You don't have to remember. You read your Bible. What did Agrippa say to Paul? Paul, thou almost persuadest me. Paul was fighting for him. He said, I'm defending myself, but the real reason I'm here is I got a word for you. I got a message for you. He said, thou almost. He said, I wish I had her. You got any almosts in your life? They said, I almost ready to go there. You almost had. I had an uncle. Every time he would hear me preach, he'd come and say, you almost got me today.
My God.
I said, don't worry, uncle. One day you're going to come on back home. You're going to leave that Jehovah's Witness stuff alone. You're going to come on back home.
Yeah.
Say, you almost. You almost. It'll be tears in his eye. You almost. Say, but don't. Why is it almost, huh? I don't want the almost. I want it. God wants you. He stands at the door and he knocks. If anyone would open, he will come in and sup with him. So we remember why we fight. We remember whom we fight. Then the word tells us how to fight. And it says we fight with great confidence.
My God.
It's right here in the scripture, y'all. It's right here in the scripture. Verses 35, he says what? Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. He said, what? We're telling you to remember. Remember, you do this thing with confidence.
Yes.
I don't know what they said in your neighborhood. I don't know what they said on your block. But on my block, you couldn't be a scaredy cat.
My God.
You couldn't be scared of nobody. I didn't ask for it, but I wasn't scared of nobody. My daddy told me, don't you run from nobody, boy. Say, don't you start nothing, but you ain't got to be scared of nobody. God is placing you everything that you need and everything that you got to have. You ain't got to run from nobody. But he told me the rest of the story. Don't you ever start no fights. Don't do it. He's talking in the worldly vision. Talking in the world approach. Don't go out and hit nobody. Don't go out and talk about nobody. We don't do things. We don't act that way. We love everybody. And that's what God wants. But God didn't tell us to run and hide. He tells us how to fight with confidence. You don't believe me? What did he say in Judges? In Judges 7, the Lord said it to Gideon. He said, look. See, you got way too many people here. And it wasn't that he just had too many people. It was that he knew the people he had wasn't ready for the fight.
My Lord.
Amen.
So God said, wait a minute. Go down to the water. He said, I'll try these out. I'll tell you who to take and who not to take. He said, look, you should go down there to be seven of these. This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought the people into the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, what, him shall thou set by himself. He said, if you've been down and put your tongue to the water and lap it up like a dog, he said, set them over there. Say, then the others say, him that go down and bow down on his knee, if you get all the way down on your knees in a position of surrender, he said, well, you don't want them either. He said, but him that go down in a position of victory, in a position of strength, you on one knee, you take the right position, you bring the water up in your hand. Why? Because while you drinking, you still watching. While you drinking, you ready to fight. While you drinking and being renourished and replenished, you still ready to go to battle. Can't nobody surprise you. I'm coming to tell you, that's a warning today. Too many of us are lapping the water with our tongue because we just love it so much. The rest of us, we just surrender everything to the world. We down on our knees, and so the enemy catches us off guard. But guess what? When we're ready for the fight, there are no surprises, because the promise of the word says, I will never allow anything to overtake you without making a way out. That's how we fight. So Gideon said, hey, all these people, he said, you only need these 300, Gideon, and the victory is yours.
Yes, yes, yes.
Some of us on this call right now, we'd rather lap it up. Oh, this is God's blessing to me. This is the praise that God to sit down in heaven. I get blessed every day, and I'm just going to take all I can get. God don't bless us for us to take all that we can get. That's the wrong attitude. He blesses us to be a blessing to somebody else. If he blesses you with the anointing to speak in divine tongue, that tongue is to be a blessing and prophecy over somebody else, so that what? So that you can pray for, that you can speak to them, that you can bring healing. They need to know that it came from God. If he blesses you with finances beyond what others got, it ain't just for you to say, I got fancy this and all us and all that. It's for you to be a blessing to somebody else in their time of need as God. If he's blessing you to have peace, it's not just for you to have peace, he's blessing you for you to be a peacemaker, so you can bless somebody else with the peace and anointing that God, when they walk into your presence, when they hear your voice, there's peace. I know I'm in the word. I know what God says. He said, look, and somebody else, you're going to do it with great confidence. And guess what? It said in 2 Chronicles, and he told King Jehoshaphat, you shall not even need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go all against them, for the Lord will be with you. The Lord done already made a way. He sent praises out, and when they hear the praises, folks hightail it and run scared. Do you not know every day when the enemy sees you coming, if he sees you and you're lapping at the water, he ain't scared of you. But when you bow down and scoop up the water in confidence because you know the Lord has made a way, you know the Lord will fight your battles, and you holding on to the hand of God, you calling the name of Jesus, you know the enemy got to hightail it and run because he said, today's not today. I'm going to come back for another time.
God.
That's just what the word says, y'all. And Joshua 10:25, he said, and Joshua said to them, fear not nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies what? Who ye fight. Any enemy who come up against you, the Lord gonna take care of. Anybody who call you out of your name, the Lord gonna take care of. Anybody who say, why you got to do with that old phony religion? Why you go to this church or that church? Why you calling on Jesus and you still broken? You still sick? And you say, I ain't worried about what you say. In the name of Jesus, get thee behind me, Satan, because my God will supply all my needs according to what? His riches and glory.
Thank you.
We remember why we fight? We fight because Jesus saved us. We remember who we fight for? We fight for Jesus. Jesus came down, shed his blood, that what? We might have a right to the tree of life. He conquered death, y'all, so we're not going to die. That's the ultimate victory that we shall never lose. God said, what? We remember, and God said, we got to do it with confidence. You can't convince nobody when you scared yourself.
Amen.
They can see through the facade. They can see through the makeup. They can see through the fine grooming. They can see through all the money that you have. They can see through all the possessions you got. Because when you got possessions and you don't know that God has given it to them and why you're supposed to have them, then it's a facade because you just say, hey, I got mine, you get yours. But he says we fight by remembering why and for who. We fight with what? Great confidence. And then when he ends this passage in verses 38 and 39 here in Hebrew, the 10th chapter, and it's before we get to the 11th chapter, which is the faith chapter. He said, now what? The just are those who believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that what believe to the self, for the saving of the soul. Oh, I like God gives you, say, we walk by faith, but God gives you a warning. He said, say, some of them, they're gonna draw back in the heat of the battle. He said, but guess what? But we are not that person. So before you can say, well, that's how I felt the other day, or that's how I feel sometimes, that you know, I just got scared and I just can't do it. No, that ain't who you are. So stop speaking the lie that the devil planted there. He said, but we are not of that people. We are not of the one who draw back. We are bold. We are courageous. We are strong and we are victorious. This is how we fight our battle. We come up and I'm coming to take you out. I ain't coming to be your best friend, devil. I ain't coming to just walk with you, devil, and let you. I'm coming to take you out. Why? Because I know what your intention is.
Amen.
Y'all know the intention of the devil, to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil ain't trying to be your best friend. That's just the first attack. Oh, come on, you can go with me. You can do this with me. It's okay. And all the time, he got a noose around your neck. All the time, the arrow is ready to strike. All the time, the sword is ready to cut off your head or cut off your tongue so you can't call on Jesus. All the time, it's trying to block your mind. Why? Because we're not going physical. We're dealing what? With spirit. He's trying to mess up your mind that you can't even think about Jesus. But can I give y'all a testimony today? I don't care how messed up your mind get. I had a 99-year-old grandmother who didn't know who I was and didn't know folks was half the time. But when you said Jesus, she knew who Jesus was. Her mind couldn't do nothing else. You started telling Jesus, she started singing and praying. If you said Jesus, she started shouting. If you said Jesus, she got peace and she wasn't agitated. I come to tell you, they put her on hospice. I ain't put her on hospice. But when the nurse came in, this little old young 25-year-old said, what is grandma like? She likes to. She started singing the hymns of Jesus, and grandma got healed, and they took her off hospice. Why? Because yeah, every 3 days a week, this young lady said, we just sing hymns, and she got a beautiful voice. You know why? Because she sang in the choir all her life. So God met her at her knee. Said, if I send her a song to sing, she gonna sing it.
Amen.
And then in chapter 11, in chapter 11, he goes on and he says, look, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel the prophets, who through faith, we're talking history here, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness. They did all these. They waxed valiant in fight, turned to the flight of the armies of the aliens. What's that? Women received their dead, raised to life. He's talking about the miracles, y'all. He said, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They then might obtain a better resurrection. And he goes on and said, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging. They said, we were put on display. Yea, more of a bondsman in prison. They were stoned. They were shown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered in sheepskin and goatskin. But he said, but of all that, all these things haven't obtained a good report through faith. So all of them got a good report. Someone said last week, whose report will you believe? What's the report that God has on you? What's the report that the people think about you? What's the report that your family thinks about you? What's the report that you think about yourself? You need to fight this fight by faith. Not by power, not by might, but by faith. And your faith comes in one word, Jesus.
Amen.
Comes in one word, it comes in the word of Jesus. And you don't have to believe me. What does it say in Acts 5:38? He said, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest haply you be found even to fight against God. That's what the ones who were trying to get after Paul and Peter and all the disciples were saying. He said, look, we might not like what we see and we might not understand and we might be against it. But if it comes from God, you fight your battle and you can't win. So when we represent God, the world already knows when they're fighting after us, ain't no way they're gonna win. They recognize. So we're talking about sin. We recognize the power that's in you when you let your light shine.
Amen.
Rivers will split and you will walk on dry land. Enemies will bow down and be your footstool. They will lay their palm leaves for you to walk on. That's the power of living in faith.
Yes.
That's the power of living in faith. And then in Acts 23, it said, there arose a great cry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel have spoken to him, let us what? Not fight against God. They said this about the disciples. They knew this about Jesus. Who do we know today? We know Jesus.
Jesus.
So if Jesus is our Lord and Savior,
yes.
And once we accept him as our Lord and Savior, what happens? The Holy Spirit, what, comes in and dwells us, right? And it lives in us. And so since the Spirit lives in us, and what's on the inside has got to come out, the light that's on the inside, even though it's covered with this skin, and even though it's covered with the blood, and it's covered with all the parts of the human body, even though it's on the inside, it's what is on the part of us that gives us life, and that's in our heart. And because it's in the heart gives life to every part of the body. So as the blood goes from the heart to all parts of the body, do you know that it carries the light of Jesus? So even if you got gnarly toes, your toes still show the light. If you got nappy hair, the light comes out of your hair. I don't worry about dress, but no matter how it is, but if you got ashy elbows, the light come through the ashy elbow. If you got hands that were swift to mischief, and all of a sudden you've been changed, now the hands are swift to show the grace of God. You don't have to believe me. Go back. There was an army of dry bones. Your bones ain't dry no more. Why? Because the light of Jesus is on the inside. So they got to show who you are.
Amen.
And can I give you a secret? I don't care who made your mask, what it looks like, what color it is, it can't cover up your light. Because your light will shine through your eyes. Yes. If they can't see your eyes, your light gonna shine in the voice that comes out. If you don't speak nothing, your light gonna shine through the way you walk. And if your walk ain't fast enough, God will have you start jumping and shouting, because just when you think there's no hope, you're gonna see something you hadn't seen, and you're gonna start dancing. So we fight by remembering why and for whom. Why? For Jesus. What? Why? Because he saved us. Why? Because he loved us. You know what they say, John 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, what? Shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we fight because guess what? I ain't going to die. I live forever. We fight. Why? Because Jesus made a way. Nothing we do for Christ ought to be done like we scared. The Lord has not given us what? A spirit of fear. Of confidence, of a sound mind. And we fight by faith. And if he left this chapter 10 and went over to chapter 11 and just began to read chapter 11, we would learn some things. It says what? Now, faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by the elders obtained what? A good report. And then we kept going down and it says what? By faith, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated. What? That he would not see God. By faith, Noah was what? Warned the people. By faith, Abraham was willing to offer. Right? By faith. It keeps going down the book. By faith, through faith, by faith. So these all died in faith, not having received what? The promises. They had did it, but they still had faith.
Amen.
That's chapter 11. Go home and read all of chapter 11. So by faith, so we what? We watch and then we fight. And then the last thing on next week, we're going to talk about that we pray. And there's a reason for us praying. There's a reason for praying. And then I just want you, I couldn't leave out one of my favorite. I just could not leave one of my favorite verses that talks about fighting. It said, but godliness with contentment in 1 Timothy 6:6-12. But godliness with contentment is great gain. But we brought nothing into this world. And what? Certainly we can take nothing what out of this world. That's what he's saying. What? And it's certain. And having food and raiment, let us be what? Therewith content. But they that what will be right will fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. But the love of money, what, is the root of all evil. If you love money more than you love Jesus, that's the root of evil. It's the love of the money. It's not the money. When you want something so bad that you'll do opposite of what God said, that's the love of something that's no good for you. And some of us, we're still fighting and wrestling with this thing of what we love that's more than Jesus. Oh, no, I don't love that more than Jesus. But when you go do some things, you know you ought to do it. At that moment, you're loving that thing more than you love Jesus. But he said, but in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, flee all of those things, and follow after righteousness. What? After righteousness, after godliness, after faith, after love, after patience, after meekness. Then it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed but a good profession before men. Fight the good fight of faith. You ain't got to have the biggest, strongest muscles. You ain't got to have the best brain. You ain't got to have the sharpest sword. You just got to have faith. And the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, is all you got to do. You can say to yonder mountain, be removed. You can say to cancer, be removed. You can say to hormonery, be removed. You can say to the enemy, when he thinks he's got you boxed in, you got to be removed, because I'm walking that way and I'm coming straight at you and I'm going straight through you, because in the name of Jesus, he from a corona, you can have all you want. You can attack and scare people, but you can't scare me, because I still belong to Jesus and I'm going home to be with Jesus, and ain't nothing you can do about it. You ain't got to worry about have a mask, don't have a mask. Because whether you have one or don't have one, you still ought to have compassion. Whether you have one or don't, you still got to love the people in the name of Jesus. So that ain't, the mask or no mask is not about what faith is about. That's just what the enemy tries to make us do while he still creates confusion. The faith is to say, yes, Lord, what do I do now? Yes. What do I do this time? What do I do this time? And watch what God will do for us. So fight the good fight of faith. As we watch and God shows us, then we fight the good fight of faith. And as we fight the good fight of faith, we watch how lives are changed. This week, there's somebody's life that you will change. And before the enemy can plant your head and you start receiving, well, I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going to run into nobody. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm struggling just to keep myself. That's a lie. You belong to Jesus. You got everything you need. He has everything you need. He's sending somebody your way this week for you to make a difference in their life. And all you got to do is have faith. And when they come, you're going to know that God sent them specifically to you this week. My prayer is that you don't close your eyes to the opportunity, because God wants to bless you. He wants you to know beyond a reasonable shadow of a doubt that there is nothing that he won't do for you. Amen. To give you the victory. Yes. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No, they say a few. He says, no weapon. In the midst of craziness, God still wants to use you. So fight the good fight of faith. Understand, we do some things, and I said last week, we talk about when fear hits our Armageddon, right? And how we do this, what? We freeze, we flee, and we fight. Freezing in the spirit realm is to be watchful. Fleeing in the spirit realm is to fight. And I'll give you the last one next week. Hallelujah. Amen. You can probably figure it out. You can figure it out. We got to watch, fight, and pray. And they're different in the natural than they are in the spirit realm. God has given you the ability to see things. He reveals them to you. God has given you the ability to fight. We don't have to run. We fight. Even when he tells us to depart, we're not fleeing in fear. We're following instructions that God is leading us on our journey. And there's a difference. When you flee, you go wherever you can go. That's why sometimes the squirrels get run over. They didn't follow the divine flight for God. They just ran. And ka-doop, there it is. But when we fight and God tells us to go a different way, because he's already prepared a way to our victory. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you today, Lord, again, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, as you're telling us what to do in these times, Father God. We're thanking you, Lord, as was said earlier, that we're still worshiping you, Lord God. We're still lifting our hands, and we're still, Father God, on the battlefield. We're thankful today, Lord God, as you reveal to us how we continue day by day in this battle.
Yes.
To share your word has not changed, Lord God. to be about evangelism has not changed, Lord God. To be about trusting you has not changed, Lord God. When Abraham didn't know what was going to be done, he still took Isaac with him, Lord God. He just knew that you were going to provide, Lord God. And if it was to be so, Isaac was a sacrifice, Lord God. But at that moment, Lord God, when it was almost ready to be done, you said over there was a ram in the bush, Lord God. Today, as we see defeat in our worldly eyes, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for opening up our spiritual eye, Father God, through the blood of Jesus, Lord God, that we see the supernatural, Lord God. We see things beyond anything the world can see, Lord God. We see victory, Lord God. We see the ultimate celebration already, Lord God. We see all of your children, Lord God, gathered together at the victory celebration, Lord God. Having been washed in the blood of the Lamb, Father, we say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for our place, Lord God, that's already been prepared. We thank you, Lord, that the gates are wide enough and deep enough, Lord God, and they'll swing open, that'll receive all of us, Lord God. Your word said there's a number that no man can number, and we say thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, thank you that we don't even need to know our place. We just know that we're in the number, Lord God. So thank you, Father God, as we go on this battlefield and we're reaching out to others, Lord God, to share the good news of your victory, to encourage them to engage in the fight, Lord God, to encourage one another, Father God, to be available to you, to knowing, Father God, that we don't even have to fight. Just let you have our battle, Lord God.
Yes.
And as you equip us, Father God, we say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So until next week, Lord God, we pray that we will be surrendered vessels to you, Jesus.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Just permitting you to have your way. This is our prayer. And the people of God said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Amen.